Father, we want to thank you for the life that you've given us. God, we thank you that we can honor you and worship you, Lord, through our lives, through our abilities, our time, our finance. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for everything that is given today, Father, the hearts, Lord, that it will worship you, God, that it will bring glory to your name. Lord, I pray, Father, that everything that we do and say in this week as we leave this place, Father, that we will not leave this place the same. Father, I pray that you will come and impart more of yourself, that you will give more of yourself, Lord, that our lives will be that sweet-smelling aroma that goes from this place into this world, the fragrance of Christ. Wherever we go, Lord, we pray that you will bless what is given today, the hearts, the money, the time, the zeal, the passion, Lord, the devotion, Lord. We pray that you will bless everything, Father, that you may be glorified in it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Today, I'm not preaching, but Jaco is. Where's Jaco? Here we go. So we're very excited, Jaco, for you to share with us, and I'm quickly going to pray for you, and then you can go for it. Great. Father, we want to thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that you have come to give your Son, Lord, to all of us. And God, I thank you, Father, for your Spirit that is within us. Lord, we thank you for Jaco, God. We thank you for the word that you have given him. Lord, we pray that as we open our hearts to receive from you, Lord, we will hear you speak. Lord, we come with an expectation, God, for you to speak to us, Lord, and we pray that you will do so. We pray that you'll bless this vessel in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andries. Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be here and wonderful to see so many faces and people that I recognize. I especially want to just take this opportunity of my ma, thank you to say that she is vanoggend and baie lekker moederdag vir mama. Dankie vir die kuier en ook vir Lucille wat by my kom as 'n geestelike ma is. Baie dankie dat jy hier is. Ons is baie lief vir jou en so ook die volle kerk. So baie dankie daarvoor. Vanoggend gaan ek in Afrikaans spreek. Maar toe het ek ongelukkig in Manuel vasgeloop en in Ronnie en in Mario en hulle het my vasgevat en gesê, I can't do that. So no, I'm just joking, I will not do that, but hopefully one day we will preach in Afrikaans, all the nice words in Afrikaans. So yeah, it's wonderful to be here and I just want to just also thank Anders and Lisa for giving me this opportunity to share. I really enjoy it. I want to just take a moment and just honoring them. I've been a couple of years in Shofar now, about 14, 15 years, and I haven't met such great pastors as they, except Fred and Lucille, and just want to honor them for their work and the example they set for us in the faith and for me and Carmen and for all of us. So I just want to honor you guys and say thank you so much for what you do for us. We honor you. So before I start this morning, I also just want to just thank everybody and the whole church and all the people that know me and Carmen for praying for me last year when I was so sick, where I fought for my life in hospital, and so many of you came to pray for me and to give us food, and just want to thank you guys for sustaining us in that time. I couldn't have made it without your prayers, and as the body just coming together and just giving strength to me in the time when I was hanging on for life. But thank God I'm still here. So this morning, I want to share a very simple, yet profound word, I believe, which I'm still working through. So this is fresh off the cuff. It's from me. It's a revelation. It's probably things I have not done. So this morning, I'm not sharing from a place of know-it-all, have done it all. I'm sharing from a place of brokenness, of learning these things from God as I've been going through a very tough time in my life the last few months. So before we start, let's just pray for the word. Father, this morning we want to thank you that you love us, Lord, despite our weaknesses, our mistakes, our faults, God, our own efforts, that you are always there for us, Lord. And we want to just commit this time into your hands. We want to thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word, Lord, that your word cannot return void, and that you will accomplish this morning for that which you will send it out to do, Father. And this morning, Lord, we also thank you that your word, God, brings light, God, and it makes the simple wise, Father. And this morning, our hearts, God, we want to just acknowledge that you are here. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are here. We sensed you when we were worshiping God, and we want to just acknowledge you as the guest of honor this morning and just say, come and have your way, Holy Spirit. Come and speak to us. Come and touch us. Come and reveal Jesus to us this morning, God. We need you this morning, Lord. As Andres shared last week about knowing and understanding you, Father, we need you, God. We need you. We need to know and understand you and your ways. This morning, we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I start, I just want to ask us a simple question. Who of us here has ever gone through a very difficult time? Most of us have. A time when you felt like, listen, you just want to give up. You just want to throw in the towel and call it quits. And guys, the reality of life is that we all will go through a time like that sometimes in our lives. That's just what life is. Not to be unspiritual, that is what life do to us. It will throw a curveball at us, which we don't recognize, which we don't see, and it will actually bowl us out. You know, in cricket, you've got guys bowling Yorkers at your feet and bouncers and slower balls and spinners. And as a batsman, you need to try and deal with those things. But like we know, the guys bowl you out because you haven't seen the Yorker coming. And that's what life does to us. It throws us Yorkers and it just bowls us out. It leaves us devastated. It leaves us broken. It leaves us with lots of questions in our hearts. And as I found, it comes to attack your faith. It comes to put questions on your faith. But God, where are you? Where have you been? Why don't you protect me? I thought your blood is so strong in my life. And then you're left there on your own seemingly and with lots of questions. So this, maybe this morning you are here like that, and you are maybe a mother, you know, and you have been going through a tough time with babies that have not slept. Or you're a father under financial stress. Your budget is not measuring up. You are maybe, like myself, struggling with health issues that seems that there is no answer for you. Or you've lost your job, or you're going through a divorce, or there's just heartache in your family. We all go through things, God, and I can't name them all, but you know what I'm talking about. So the question this morning is not if difficult times will come or not. It's rather how are we going to handle them when we're inside of them. Because come, they will come. Amen? Now that's what I found out last year when I was fighting for my life. It was probably the hardest and the difficult time of my whole being. Of my whole existence. I fought and I laid there hopeless. And this morning, I'm going to speak from that place where it feels that God is distant and that our faith has failed us and we don't have any answers. And one person in Scripture which I found went also through lots of challenges, lots of troubles, time after time again, was the guy David. He was a guy which ran for his life from Saul. He was in the wilderness for most of his life. His own son Amnon raped his sister Tamar, and Absalom, his other son, killed him. And he was like a fugitive in his own country, and he also lived under the shame of adultery and for killing an innocent person. Troubles. But despite all of those things David faced, he still managed to handle it better than I did. And that's what I want to look at today, that what did David do to cope in that time, to make his faith strong in that time, to stay with God in that time, and remain faithful. And this morning we heard the Holy Spirit saying to us that God is like a dove. It's like He wants to gather us in like a hen under His feathers to keep us safe. And that's what I'm trusting God to do for us this morning. As we look at David's life and his example of how in troubling times to get closer to God so He can protect us and He can give us understanding when we are struggling. Amen. So let's start and look at 1 Samuel 30 at David. And just to give us a bit of background, David was anointed king at this time, but he was not reigning yet as king. And he ran for his life from Saul, who tried to kill him, and he was actually joining the Philistine armies, and he was ready to fight with the Philistines against Israel. And in chapter 29, the leaders of the Philistines came and said, listen here, we don't want David to fight with us because maybe he can just turn around and fight against us. So the commander sent David and his men back to the city of Ziklag, where they came from. So we pick up the story here in verse 1, chapter 30, and it says the following. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And it happened that and had taken captive the women and those who were with them, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city. And there it was, burnt with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive.
Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. Under they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, had been taken captive too. Now David was really distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself, the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, please bring me the ephod here to me. Abiathar, sorry if I don't say it right, it's a bit of a hard word, brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troops? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fault recover all. So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, and they found the Amalekites spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because all of the great spoil which they have taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except the 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered it all. What an amazing story. Guys, and here we find David in a distressing, difficult, hard situation. His enemies came against him. The enemies came and they've lost everything. They've lost their wives, lost their children, and above all, his own faithful followers turned against him, trying to kill him. Speaking of trying to kill him, and in the midst of the situation, when everybody is freaking out, crying, weeping, the Bible says, David did something. He went to strengthen himself in the Lord. And this one thing that David did, I want to look at today, for many of us also find ourselves in difficult situations like I did, or like David did. Or maybe in the future, difficult things will happen to you. Then I want you to learn from this morning. Because God wants us not to be overcome by our enemies, but He wants us to pursue the Amalekites, to destroy them, to come out victorious at the end. Amen? So this morning, I quickly want to look at a few things that you can do, very practical, very simple, that you can do to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Things I haven't done when I was struggling, but now I'm learning them, and I'm just giving them over to you as spiritual keys or spiritual answers. The first one is a very basic one. It is, we must draw near to God in times of trouble. You need to draw near to God in times of trouble. Look at David, verse 7 and 8. It says, then David said to the priest, bring me the ephod here. And Abiathar brought him the ephod. So David inquired of the Lord. David drew near to God in the midst of a troubling time, guys. Because David knew his help and his strength doesn't come from himself, but it comes from God. His own men wanted to kill him. They've lost everything. I didn't lost everything, but you know, I was down and out. Maybe you've lost everything. Maybe you, looking around and your life is in ruins, up in flames. Then it's the time now to run to God. It's now to go and inquire of Him, what to do, God. I need strategy. I need wisdom. And Jesus picks up the same sentiment here in Matthew 11. It says, there come to me all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. What a promise. Take my yoke and put it on you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For my yoke is easy and my load I'll put to you is light. And church, I cannot stress this more. God is the only solution in your difficult time to give you strength. He's the only solution. He's the only thing that will carry you through the time of desperation. You see, he is a very present help in a time of trouble. He is the one you can call out and his ears is open to hear. Amen? Don't run away from him, but run towards him. Make that decision. Run towards him. You see, the whole world today is running after every other thing to find their strength except in God. They try new therapies. They try new stuff. They smoke more. They drink more. They club more. They go for entertainment more. Just to get another fix, just to carry them to the next need. Amen? But we have got a refuge. We've got a hiding place. We've got a place where we can run to say, God, shelter me with your wings. I cannot carry this anymore. But the question remains, guys, what do you do this morning when you come into a difficult time? What have you done when you were in a depressing situation like David? Have you become like David's men on the one side that turn around and start blaming other people and becoming bitter over stuff people did to you? Or did you become like, do you want to come like David, who rather would turn away from everything and turn and face his maker and say, God, from you and you alone does my strength come from. Help me, God. Are we like David's men, or are we actually like David, running and inquiring of the Lord himself? So, church, I want to ask us, look at this promise. Look at this glorious invitation from Jesus. Come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me when everything is down and out. I will be the rest. I will be your peace in the middle of the storm. But come to me. Don't run to other things. Jesus is the morning standing with arms wide open, calling you to come to him as he loves you and wants to embrace you. Now, it's important to know that when you want to strengthen yourself in the Lord God, that it is an intentional act. It is something you will need to decide. Amen? I've got it here in my studies. The Hebrew word actually means, strengthen yourself means imply a persistent and a continuous effort. There's nothing passive about drawing near to God. You must make a conscious decision in that moment of distress and trouble that say, God, I'm freaking out on the inside. My faith has lost me. I don't feel, you're not close to me. But God, I decide I'm going to draw near to you now because you are my strength. It's intentional, like a persistent, continuous effort from our side. And something important, which I actually learned from Lucille, is when you draw near to God, you must learn to unburden yourself before the Lord. You must, with intention, come to God and say, God, I give you this pain. I give you this disappointment. I give you this offense, God. I forgive X, Y, and Z. You can't come to God and think you're going to be strengthened if you're still holding on to the things which is draining your strength. Give them to God. This morning, Andrew prayed, you must relinquish that. You must give it unto God. You must come to him and say, God, here's my burden. I'm taking your burden, which is light, and your yoke, which is easy. Then, with that exchange, strength will come back to your life. Unburden yourself before the Lord. It's like peeling an onion. You come to God with many layers of issues and many troubles and many whatever, like David faced. You must layer that on little bit by little bit and say, God, this I give to you. That person I forgive. My men coming to me, God, they are confused. Help them to understand what we're in. Layer that onion till the core is there and you can actually give that also to God. Amen. So guys, I want to encourage us this morning, be intentional in drawing near to God. Unburden yourself to God, and you will find strength from him. The second key I've learned is to learn to sing praise. Now many times, what I find amazing, many times David will write in the Psalms, you know, how his enemies are over him and how they come like wild dogs to eat him and all this. But in the next verse, he just says, God, he just starts praising God. He just bursts out and says, God, you are good, you are amazing, you are loving. And many times, God, I thought, but God, this man is a schizophrenic. What is going on here? You know, is this the Holy Spirit in the scriptures? What is this? Because I've learned I was wrong. And I've learned that David knew where to get his strength from. He knew where to get his strength. And look at me, for example, at Psalm 59, a beautiful example. It says, David is writing, rescue me from these enemies, O God. Protect me from those who have come to destroy me. Rescue me from these criminals. Save me from these murderers. But then look at the 16. But as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love. For you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I am in distress. O my strength, to you I sing praises. For you, O God, are my refuge, the God who shows me unfailing love. Isn't that amazing? God, David the schizophrenic, showing us, listen, he's actually a man that has got a heart for God. And church, this will probably be the hardest thing for you to do in your crisis, is to lift up your voice to declare God's praise. But I want to encourage you this morning, guys, it will help you to take the focus of yourself and your circumstances and to place it on Jesus. It will help you to forget about your problems and to focus on what Jesus has done for you. Because we so love in our mud pool to think, to feel about how sorry we are for ourselves and how bitter we are for ourselves. But the moment you start to praise, God lifts you out of that pit of destruction. You start focusing on what he did for you, and from that you gain strength. Amen? And here I'm not talking about sing songs. putting in things and saying, I'm talking about declaring who God is. I'm talking about saying what God has done for you. Like in Psalm 59, God, you are my deliverer. You are my refuge. You are my power in my distress. It's declaring who God is. Amen? It's not an emotional, I'm just feeling good song here. No. It's in spite of your circumstances, in spite of you feeling bad, making a decision, say, God, I'm going to say who you are in my situation. Amen? I want to tell us this morning, guys, don't lose your song in the desert. Don't lose your song in the desert. Trust God for a new song. Trust God that when He turns your ashes into beauty, that He will give you a new song to sing unto the Lord. Amen? That's what I'm trusting God for my life at this very moment, a new song. Amen? Then there's a beautiful example of this. Praising God in the midst of turmoil. You're in Acts 16, and again, the background here, Paul and Silas going to Macedonia, being called by the Spirit, and going to Philippi, and then meeting the girl with a name called Lydia, my daughter, and ministering unto her, and then obviously being thrown into prison for that action of witnessing two people and getting them saved, and she losing a trade for owners. And here in verse 22, it says, then the multitudes rose up together against them, this Paul and Silas, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with sockets. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loose. Isn't that amazing? First they were thrown into prison. First, like David, God rescued me from his enemies. But then they started singing. But then they started to pray, and God came through for them in a miraculous way. Isn't that glorious? So guys, here we see the power of praise in the midst of a distressing situation. And I want to tell you guys, that is what praise will do for you if you decide to do it. It will make the chains fall off your feet. It will open doors for you. It will allow people to come to your rescue and to actually encourage you and to sustain you. Because this jailer later on washed Paul and Silas' own wounds. And Paul led them to Christ afterwards. A glorious picture of restoration. Amen? And guys, why is this important? Because God will inhabit the praises of His people. God lives in the praises of His people. God, guys, when God is present, doors open, miracles happen, chains fell off. Amen? Invite God into your situation by lifting up His name, by declaring who He is, like Paul and Silas did. Yeah, from the prison. I don't know what your prison is at the moment. I don't know what is keeping you bounded, but God is able to break those doors. Invite Him to learning how to praise. Amen? So guys, in the famous words of Dory from Finding Nemo, I'm going to encourage us this morning, as she said to Nemo, just swim. Nemo, just swim. I want to ask us, guys, just keep on praising. Amen. Keep on praising. Amen? Keep on praising. Keep on praising. Wonderful Dory. Then the third thing I want to just leave with us, very simple, is when you're in a time of distress and you need to strengthen yourself, remind yourself of God's promises. Remind yourself of the promises of God. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, Timothy, my son, my child, I entrust to you this command, which is in accordance with the words of prophecy spoken in the past about you. Use those words as weapons in order to fight well. Use those words as weapons to fight well. Guys, we are in charismatic church, we are so easy to be casual with the word of the Lord. We get it and we run from it and we just happy go lucky. And when the trouble comes, we don't know where to find strength from. And Paul is saying here, those words spoken to you early in your life, note them. Stand upon them. Because they will be the weapon that will open the door for you against the enemy. Amen? So here Paul is giving Timothy a wisdom in how to remain strong in the Lord. And he's saying, stand on the promises that God has given you earlier and use them as a weapon. Okay? In other words, strengthening ourselves in the Lord means that we must remind ourselves of the promises of God. It's like the Israelites building memorial stones wherever they went through the desert. They build them to remind themselves of what God has done for them in the past, how the victories God has accomplished for them. To turn around and say, but children, look at that. God was there, the provider. There was our deliverer. There was or whatever. Build, remember your memorial stones. Build them, please. And look at them and let them strengthen you. As for example, in my life last year, when I went through this health crisis and fighting for my life, you know, I had to go back to my journals, which I wrote when I was a student in Stellenbosch under Fred and Lucille. I had to visit those words God has given me and say, but Lord, I'm here. Does that make sense? And I had to wrestle with them. I had to use them against the enemy that wants to lie to me, that wants to take me out. I had to stand up on those words. But thank God I've written them down. That was my memorials. And that, guys, will stir hope in us again. That will build faith in us again. To see God's faithfulness throughout the years. Amen. And guys, this morning, if you're a young Christian and you don't have a journal or you don't have any promise yet from the Lord, I want to ask you to start reading and knowing the Word of God. This book is full of promises for you. Just take it, stand upon it, and you will see what God does for you. And Andy has been speaking about this the last few weeks. Knowing the Word, knowing God, understanding Him, pressing in, reading 40 days of the Word, just 50 minutes, start there. You will be amazed what God does in your life just by dedicating that little time to Him. But take this Word, memorize it, so that when the trouble comes, you can with the Holy Spirit just come out and speak that Word into that situation. That's what I found. When you hide the Word in your heart, the Holy Spirit can actually use it in situations which you haven't foreseen. Amen? So hide it in your heart. Study it. Know it. And the beautiful story of this, to illustrate this, is of the importance of having a promise of God in a difficult time is in Acts 27. Here Paul was taken captive. He was on his way to Rome. He was put on a ship and they were heading for Rome. And what happened there? They fall into various storms. And they were almost being killed. And what happened is Paul, luckily, by God's grace, had a promise of God that the ship will not fall, where nobody will die. And look here at verse 22. It says, but take courage, Paul is saying to the people on the ship. Take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, whom I belong to and whom I serve, stood beside me and said to me, don't be afraid, Paul. For you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God is in His goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So, take courage. For I believe God, it will be just as He said. Guys, I want to tell you this morning, it will be just as what God told you. Take courage this morning in your situation. Take courage that God is for you. God is with you in your boat, with you in the storm. He's there. It will be just as He has said. Stand on those promises. Amen. Get into God's Word and know His promises. Declare them over yourself, over your family, over your finances, over your business, over whatever. Stand upon the promises of God and remind yourself of them. Then just to look at this beautiful last psalm, it just encapsulates everything for me about this. David says in Psalm 119, he says, my life dissolves and weeps itself away from heaviness. God, I'm in a difficult situation. Rise me up and strengthen me according to your promises of your word. Guys, God's word's got the ability to strengthen us when we're down and out. Pick up your Bible. Read it. Memorize it. And like Paul, encourage others with it. Amen. Then an important one as a key for you to strengthen yourself is here in Psalm 84. David is writing, he says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they will be still praising you. Verse 7, they will go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God and Zion. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. God wants to tell us, stay in fellowship with other believers. When you're going through a difficult time, don't isolate yourself from other people. There's no strength in isolation. But on the contrary, you will become bitter in isolation. You will become disillusioned and offended, and you will believe every lie the enemy throws at you. David is saying, in the house of God, there are strength. They go from strength to strength. Amen? When last have you told yourself it's better for me to be in church than anywhere else? Nowadays we see the contrary. We see everybody outside on Sundays doing their stuff except in church. Where is our hearts? You know, I believe one of the reasons David is called a man of God's house is because there's one thing. He had a passion for God's house. He had a passion to see God's house built and restored and becoming glorious throughout all the earth. Where is your passion? How can you become involved in this local church, building this local church for the glory of God? Amen? Dwelling, staying in fellowship with one another. Guys, the good news is this morning is we belong together. What I found when I was isolated in my recovery, I needed you. We need each other. We are a body. We belong to one another. Because we are called to love each other, to support each other, to lift one another up, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another. That's what a body does. When my body's in it, the other parts assist to bring healing to my chest or my neck or whatever. Let's bring the same understanding to our spiritual lives. Don't stay in isolation. Come into fellowship with the body. Amen? An example of this is here in 1 Samuel 23, just a few chapters before 30. What happened here, David was just starting out to run from Saul, and he was hiding in the wilderness, and news came to him that Saul is actually coming now to kill him. And at that very moment, Saul's son, Jonathan, came to him and gave him these words. In verse 16, it says, "Then Jonathan, his son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened him in the hand of his God. And he said to him, 'Don't fear, David, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that.' So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house." Church, do you see this? God wants to use his people to strengthen each other. David went to his brother to say, "Listen, my brother needs that. He needs to hear from God again that David, that Saul will not find him. That you are the appointed king for Israel, David." And Jonathan went to him and strengthened him, guys. So I want to ask us, allow those people into your life. See them as God-given, as gifts sent in your life to bring the encouragement, to bring the strength that you need in that specific situation. That's why you can't isolate yourself. That's why you can't stay away from small groups. That's why you can't neglect the fellowship of the saints. Come. Come to God. Amen? Let the body encourage each other. And for me, guys, exactly the same happened. When I was down and out, Anis and Lisa came to me. They came to visit us as friends, to love us, to love me when I was down and out, just in town. And they've encouraged me through stories and through just loving me. You know, not preaching and being spiritual, just loving and identifying with my need. You know, and the wonderful thing about when you are down and out, people always bring you testimony. You hear of stories God did for other people. And they gave me this interesting book I read of a guy that went through a similar thing that I went through. And I read that book and it was so profound in my life. Chapter for chapter, I cried and wept over every page I read. As God met me at that time through friends, through normal people, through His people encouraging me. That's what God wants to do for you. Open your house. Give your time for each other. Allow each other into your homes, into your hearts. Amen? And let the encouragement and the strength come from that. And that's why, guys, the house church movement or the DSTV church goes, will not work. Come out of that, please. Because Christianity is not an individual race. It's a team sport. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other to build each other up. Amen? On your own is not going to work. Slot in. Become a member somewhere. If not here, find these beautiful churches in town. But get involved. Amen? So to end off, the last thing I'm going to leave with us today, what I've learned and when they pushed me into ICU or when they pushed me into the emergency theater, the last thing I told God is that, "God, I trust you." You know, and it was the hardest words for me to say. But I trust you, God. And David writes here, Paul writes here in Romans 8, he says, "We know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." Guys, this was my cry. Maybe this is your cry this morning, but that was my cry when I was on that bed, almost going to die. I said, "God, I know you hear my voice. I trust in you, God. You will not let me go. I'm called according to your purpose. And I love you, God." Amen? And I trusted Him to turn my test into a testing, my mess into a message. Trust Him for the same, church. We're all going through difficult times. We're all going through testing times, but trust God to turn it around for you. He's the God who wants to turn your make your ashes beautiful. He wants to bring your he to bring you a new song. He wants to set the captives free. So whatever you're going through, put your trust in God. Again, it will be the hardest thing for you because your flesh will cry out, no, no, God has failed you. God has dropped you. Where is God? He's not looking at you. He's nowhere. But inside of us must rise up this cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Abba, you will never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. So this morning, church, I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what difficult times you are facing, what demons you are facing, what devils you must silence in your life. I was there. I know it's not an easy place to be. But this morning, I want to ask us to run to God this morning. Don't run away from Him. He's calling us. He's calling you to fall into His loving arms. He's standing here as a mother hen just to gather you in, to protect you, to comfort you, to whisper in your ear, my child, it will be okay. Take courage. You're not alone. You are not alone. So don't lose your song. Stand on His promises. Remain in the fellowship of the saints. And you will find, like David did, that you will strengthen yourself in the Lord. Guys, our God is a strong God. He wants His people to represent Him as strong people. Not depending on our own strength, not depending on our own abilities or skills or finances, but to depend on the refuge, on the strength of strengths, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to tell you this morning, He loves you. And His heart breaks to see you suffer like that. His heart breaks to see you run away from Him. This morning, He's calling us back to Him. This morning, He's standing ready to embrace you as you come. Just come. Just unburden yourself this morning before the Lord. I believe there's anointing this morning just to unburden ourselves before God. As we're going to stand in a moment, I want you just to connect with God. I want you to forget about your husband, wife, children, the coffee, the kids. Unburden yourself this morning before the Lord. Don't miss this opportunity. When God stirs the water, we must jump in. Don't wait. Don't go home. At home, you will not do it. God wants to strengthen you this morning through a believer, through a friend here in church. And if you are far from God this morning, God is calling you to come, to become one of His children, to become part of His family with His love, acceptance. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, this morning we want to just worship You, Lord, and say, God, You are so wonderful. You are so glorious, God. Thank You that You are present in our darkest hours, that You even love us when we run away from You, Father. And this morning we just look to You, God, and we welcome Your love. We welcome You this morning, God. And I pray, Lord God, as we stand before You as a church, help us, Lord, Holy Spirit, to identify those things in our hearts which is heart-pressing issues, which is causing us to run away from You, God, which is causing us to doubt You, to feel that You are distant. Lord, on the contrary, You are close to us. So this morning, Father, we thank You for new strength. We thank You that hope is coming back to our hearts. Thank You for faith to arise, God, as we look to You as the author and the finisher of our faith. We bless You this morning. We honor You in Jesus' name, Lord. This morning, if you are here and you are a visitor, you are brought by a friend, and you say, Jaco, I've heard Your words. It is amazing, but I don't know this God You're talking about. I'm far away from that God You're talking to, but I want to know Him. I want to have the same strength which You got, I want as well in my life. My friend, I want to invite you this morning to come to Jesus. To come to bow your knee to the lover of your soul. He's not your enemy. He's not judging you. He's calling you to become part of His family. So this morning, if there are anybody like you that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and I want you just to raise and to show me so we can pray with you, to help you, to introduce you to this wonderful Savior that will turn your life around. Are there anybody like that this morning? Thank you, God. So we all here are Christians. We all know the Lord. And then I want to encourage us this morning, guys, as we close this service, and the band will just continue for us to play music. I want you to respond unto the Lord. Come, bring your burdens. Bring those situations which you're struggling. You know, when I came back here to church, I was still very sore. And I didn't run to God. I opposed Him. But I realized, Jacob, I was wrong. And I had to repent of that. So come this morning. There's an invitation for us to come to God. He will give you rest. He will give you fresh living waters. Amen. Thank you, guys.